From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 26th day of March 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. And a bit later in the program, Matt Bennett will join us from agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Oh, and along the way, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. That with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. And later this afternoon, you'll be able to catch our Commodity Week program. Our special guest this week will be Eric Mosby. He is with the ethanol plant in Palestine, Illinois. We'll talk about production and the current situation for plants across the whole of the United States with him. And you can find that at willag.org. Just look for Commodity Week after 6 o'clock tonight. It'll air on our home radio station tomorrow afternoon, many of these stations over the weekend.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago. May corn up a quarter today at 348 and three quarters. July at 354 and a quarter, three quarters higher. And December contract unchanged for the new crop at 367 and a quarter. The March of next year at 377 and a half, up a half cent. Soybeans, May contract, depending a quarter lower, $8.80 and a quarter. The settlement price, July unchanged, 884 and three quarters. The September at 880 and a half, up one and a half. And November beans, up a penny and a half. The settlement there at $8.79. January futures of next year at $8.78 a bushel, 2.5 cents higher for the soybeans. The bean oil down 14 cents at $26.50. The bean meal at $3.22.90, up $1.20. July soft red winter wheat at $5.56 and a quarter, down 11.5 cents. And the hard red July finished at $4.91 and a quarter, down 13 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, $3 lower at $105.45 for the April. Feeder cattle at 130.80 for 100 pounds, down $1.27.5. And lean hogs for the day at $62.90, down $2.95 for the afternoon. Crude oil at $22.63, down $1.86. Ethanol, 0.8 cents higher. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We've been talking a lot about the Dow, but let's start with the grains today, please.
Well, my initial reaction, and I talked a little bit about this when I was up at the beef house. I guess that's been almost a month. It seems like time flies. But my cyclical work really had this grain complex moving into a mid-April plus or minus 30-day time window to put in a major low in the marketplace. And then once I thought that low was in place, then we could begin a seasonal climb through the growing season as we go on into, you know, June, July, August. Actually, my work would indicate that we could maybe go into, let's see here. We could go all the way into the fall. I always felt that we would probably be in a weakness now, and then we would probably come back and have some kind of strength that would maybe come at us later in the fall, early summer. Actually, I could give you a time here, basically looking at mid-September, plus or minus 30 days. So, if we could kind of, and I think the way this current low has kind of come in place based upon the way the stock market has performed, we could be looking at maybe that low coming in a little earlier than normal, coming in here in the early part of the time band. But my guess is if we can get a low put in here, that we might spend some time going sideways. I think the market probably wants to see the March numbers if they're released, depending upon what the government is doing and whether or not. I don't know if there's been any talk about postponing reports or canceling reports due to the current.
No, those are definitely coming out next Tuesday. So those will be out.
And then, of course, you'll have that March supply demand table. But I kind of thought we would probably waller around until we saw the government reports to see what farmers are actually going to plan, or at least the first go around on the survey. Then we would see the early part of the growing season and how quickly we may or may not get into the field and get things planted. But so that could take a while. I mean, you know, for the most part, that could maybe take into first part of May before the market could begin to get in position to maybe stage a rally of some kind. And I would look for normal seasonal strength basically sometime during the month of June. So now it doesn't necessarily, I can't tell you how much strength we're going to get, but I do think we're closing in on some kind of early spring low, or whatever you want to call it, early growing season low. And then I think we're teeing ourselves up then for a growing season rally that could take us, you know, into that, you know, September 15th plus or minus 30 days. So I do think pricing opportunities are going to come at us. It's just going to be more so toward the last half of the calendar year than the first half of the calendar year.
So we have a whole bunch of folks that still have a basis contract probably under May now, could be moved to July, I would suspect. Do you have any indication, inkling of what maybe ought to be done with those?
Well, I just despise basis contracts. I've despised them ever since they were invented in the early 80s. But I suppose at this point, and looking at my general cyclical opinion, and, you know, my general cyclical opinion, you know, there's nothing guaranteed about that one either. That's only about two chances in three of working too. But I guess I would probably roll one more time unless we would get a quick rally here. Maybe after the report, we get a quick April type rally. Maybe if we get an early low in and the report comes in somewhat, let's say not bearish, neutral, is a slightly positive stocks report, planting intentions report, something that would generate some short covering, maybe weather, we would maybe generate some kind of weather premium. If we would get a quick rally during April, then that would I would maybe use that rally to peel out of that and then go in and replace it with a call option. Or what I would do is maybe use a quick rally in April to buy a put. That's something that would protect you when you roll that contract then into the July option. But my, you know, like I said, if someone would ask me that, I would say, well, at this point, let's roll it. But we still have to manage downside price risk. Either you got to liquidate that out and get your cash and run, and then maybe buy a call option and then be in position to take advantage of any kind of rally that would pop up here during the growing season, which my cyclical work would imply something is going to trigger a rally. Then we would use that summer strength or that growing season rally then to kind of complete old crop marketing. And then that might even give us an opportunity to do some new crop marketing. So that's my best guess from a cyclical point of view. I guess that's the way I'd kind of play it.
So last couple of weeks, we've talked only, I think, about the Dow Jones Industrial Average. You thought maybe the 38% retracement level could hold. You weren't sure about that. It didn't. Of course, we've bounced back since then. What's your discussion point for it today?
Well, I think what we're doing now is what we normally do. You kind of make a low, and then you'll have a recovery rally, and then you'll come back and then maybe test that low. But when you look at the broad-based S&P 500, we did penetrate that 38% retracement level, but we held above the 50% retracement level, and now we're back above that 38% retracement level. I'm a S&P trader. I don't mess around with 30 stocks. I think that's too narrow of a base. I kind of like the S&P 500 for a broader, index of what's maybe going on in the stock indexes. So far this week, it looks like we're going to have a nice weekly reversal to the upside, coming off of an oversold technical condition. It's also a time frame here for an intermediate and a low point. And my indication here is the stock market might have enough juice to maybe kind of have an overall trend higher into the fall months. But there's going to be some ups and downs in there, and volatility is still going to be a little wild. But I think we're at least off to a point where we've found some stability, a point of stability. A lot of it will depend upon how bad or what happens with this pandemic that we have. If the market perceives it stabilizing or improving, then we probably have the worst behind us. If not, then there's probably a good room for a test of the low. But I like the chart action of the S&P 500 for at least a short-term low. Could turn out to be something more important, and we could have, or at least hold together, recover some of the losses that we had as we go on into the fall months.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Joins us on a Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's the website. You can play most of the programming right there, right out of the website if you'd like. Or if you'd prefer to listen to us as a podcast, you bet you can do that too. Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, the Google Play Store, and Apple Podcast. Any way that you like to listen to a podcast, just search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week, even the Opening Market Report. Speaking of Commodity Week, that'll be up by about 6 o'clock this evening. On this Thursday afternoon, let's check out the weather forecast with Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us. I think I'd like to start in South America today. Can you give me an update on Brazil and Argentina?
Well, Argentina saw some good rain over the last several days. So another late-season rain for the soybean crop, and that has stabilized moisture there because it was getting a little bit dry. There is some more rain on the way next week as well. So we're pretty much going to end the growing season in Argentina with adequate to favorable soil moisture levels. To the north in Brazil, though, the story is a little bit different. We're concerned because it's been much drier than normal on the second crop corn crop over much of the last 3 to 4 weeks. And because of that, we need significant rainfall. We will see a couple of thunderstorms this weekend when a weak wave passes, and then we'll see a few more thunderstorms next Thursday and Friday, so just over a week from now, when a cool front passes. But neither one of those look like ideal setups for heavy rainfall, and most of that rain is going to form in the southern areas. Once we get beyond next week, there's a little bit of uncertainty in the forecast, simply because it's so far into the future. But based on what we've been looking at, it looks most likely for an area of upper-level high pressure to develop. And what that would do is dry out the northern half of the corn crop, and the southern half would still need some more rain as well. So there are some arguments to be made that Brazil corn has a story going forward, and we'll just keep on watching it and see how things pan out.
Here in the United States, farmers would like to begin to scratch the earth a little bit in preparation for the planting season, though I think it's been either cold, snowy, covered, that is, or wet across much of the Corn Belt. What do you see for the next couple of days or so?
Well, we have another storm system that's going to move through on Friday and Saturday. So there is another significant rain event coming up for most corn and soybean growers. Beyond that, there's another system that moves through on Monday and Tuesday. There's a little bit of uncertainty with exactly how that one's going to pan out, but there certainly is a decent chance for rainfall for a lot of corn and soybean areas, especially with southward extent. And keep in mind that southern areas are where we plant first in the U.S., so this is not an ideal setup for drying across the Delta and the far southern Corn Belt. Once we get beyond the first half of next week, the forecast is much more uncertain than normal. There's a whole hemispheric weather pattern change that's taking place where a lot of these areas that were much warmer than normal over the course of the winter, including lots of Europe, Russia, and Ukraine, and even the United States, are suddenly turning cooler. And why that's happening now is not an easy question to answer, but it's starting to muddle with the weather forecast because depending on exactly how this cool air moves will make some big differences in who sees rain and who doesn't. At this point, we're thinking that it's going to dry out a little bit later next week and into next weekend, but we just caution that it's not a real good idea to look too far into the future with this type of weather pattern. By the time we get into Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week, we'll have a lot better idea of the type of weather that's going to follow over the first 7 to 10 days of April. But between now and then, again, we have two systems that are going to move through, one producing rain through Saturday, and then another one producing rain on Monday and Tuesday.
That'll put us through the first full week of April. Have you been thinking about planting weather further out into the spring at all? And I know that's very difficult.
It's just a little too early to say. The only thing that we're concerned about, and we've spoken at a few grower meetings in Ohio over the last couple of weeks, and the thing we've been telling them is that probably the most interesting thing about the U.S. weather pattern lately is that if you look at the 7-state region of the Corn Belt, the last 23 months in a row have been near or wetter than normal. Normally, we would see an equal mix of some dry months, some wet months, and some normal months, but they've all been skewed to the wet side. And just based on that alone, there's no real reason to start calling for an end to this type of weather pattern. We need something major to happen to shift the entire weather pattern and mark an end to this setup. And until we see that, we're just not going to be comfortable saying that all of a sudden, here comes a big, nice dry spell. Of course, that's what we want to see, and it doesn't look nearly as bad as it did last March and into April of last year. But just at this point in time, there's just no clue out there that says that this is coming to an end all of a sudden.
Anything from your perspective that we need to be aware of as it relates to winter wheat in the United States?
Well, winter wheat is all looking pretty moist. There's only a few small dry pockets out there, and one of those is in southeast Colorado and a small part of western Kansas. But we looked at our proprietary data, and 89% of hard red winter wheat production in the U.S. was near or wetter than normal over the last 30 days. We throw on some rains here over the next week, and there's really not a whole lot to think about. The one area you do need to think a little bit, though, about is what's happening in Russia. Their winter wheat crop is breaking dormancy now, and it's 3 to 4 weeks ahead of schedule because of their mild winter. It's been very dry in a very specific part of Russia, but it's the part that's nearest the Black Sea, and our understanding is that's where most of the exportable wheat comes from. So based on everything that we're seeing and looking at our proprietary data and the forecast, we can see that there's not a whole lot of rain coming up for that region over the next week, and it's already been drying out a lot over the last few weeks. So we're going to need to see some rains show up at some point. There are some rains on the horizon about 1 to 2 weeks from now, but it's a very iffy scenario, kind of like with the U.S. weather pattern. We're also having difficulty figuring out weather in different areas of the Northern Hemisphere more than a week out. So we need to keep an eye on that because that could be something that turns into a bigger story in April. And right now we're certainly watching that. That's kind of our big wheat story that we need to keep in mind.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, sounds great, Todd. See you then.
Indeed. That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Let's take a look at the cash grain segment now. Matt Bennett is here from agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for taking the time with me today. What have farmers been calling in with as questions for you most often at this point in time that doesn't actually belong to in the coronavirus side, but just in the marketing side?
You know, I think the most, the questions that I'm getting the most, quite frankly, you know, what to make of this Dow situation. I mean, you know, a lot of farmers still have some interest in that, of course, just general sentiment. Another question I'm getting is, you know, how do I make money at 367 corn, you know, taste corn? And, you know, obviously it's not something that a lot of folks can do much with. And so I guess the way I'm answering the second part, I guess, is more along the lines of we haven't put anything in the ground yet. So I hate to get too worked up. I mean, most producers we work with at least have something sold from earlier on in the year. All right. But basically, I feel like producers, you know, need to kind of hold their thoughts here, you know, not get too worked up just yet. I think early in the marketing year yet, these have been long marketing year windows, and a lot can happen here moving forward.
Two things. Export market, what does that look like first?
Yeah, I mean, the exports were phenomenal here this morning on Thursday. I mean, 1.8 plus million metric ton. The nice thing was that, yeah, the Chinese came in and bought 700-some thousand metric ton last week, but obviously we still had over a million metric tons of other business. And so, you know, there's several pretty good players in that part of the world. And so, I've got to think that low prices is definitely trying to do the job that low prices typically does, which is cure themselves. And so, you know, it's going to take a while with the ethanol demand loss. But at the same time, it's sure nice to see exports a really, really solid number.
That was my second question, and you answered part of it. Ethanol demand lost. We are shutting down plants at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the estimate that I've gotten is anywhere between 300 and 600 million bushels this marketing year. Obviously, we're a decent ways through the marketing year, fortunately. So, I mean, we can only do so much damage, but there's no question that there's a lot of frustrating things going on out there. You know, some force majeure action with some contracts in parts of the world. And, you know, that's just a really tough road to hoe. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out because that's got some pretty broad implications moving forward.
And finally, feed sector for demand, how's that holding up?
You know, I think from the feed sector side of it, if you're losing out on DDG's business, there's no question. Yeah, you're going to throw some bean meal and some of these rations, but, you know, corn is the cheapest feed grain there is to feed right now. And so I've got to think there's going to be a pretty good interest in just feeding corn to take, you know, the place of some of these DDGs. Now, we're not going to offset all that ethanol demand that we're losing, but by all means, we're going to be able to alleviate a little bit of that, first of all. And second of all, we can't lose sight of the fact that low test weight crop is still going to be something we're going to boil through a heck of a lot quicker than what we would a normal test weight crop.
Anything else before I let you go?
I just think hang in there, keep your heads. I mean, it's a very interesting market with huge unemployment and the Dow going up on the day. I don't know. You would think with corn exports where they were, we'd been a whole lot higher, but not much is making sense right now.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In just about an hour or so, I'll record Commodity Week this afternoon. That'll be up on our website at willag.org by 6 o'clock tonight and air on these radio stations over the weekend on our home station on Friday afternoon. You can find it again at willag.org. Our panelists this week will include Dale Durkles, Ellen Dearden, and Aaron Curtis, along with Eric Mosby. Eric is the general manager at Lincolnland Agri Energy. That's the ethanol plant in Palestine, Illinois. Should be a great discussion. I hope you will join us for that program again. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agriculture. Thank you for joining us on the Closing Market Report today. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.